Hi, this is Karen Brown from Go Green Inside. Today on the podcast, I'm speaking with Dr. Elaine Doherty about experiencing and cultivating heartfulness. Dr. Elaine is a researcher, a speaker, and a workshop presenter, and has taught this work at several colleges, including California State Polytechnic University, Pomona. And she's also the author of The Power Within, From Neuroscience to Transformation, as well as De-Stress with Dr. Elaine, which is an audio meditation CD available on Amazon and iTunes. And she has a book coming out called Engaging Heartfulness this fall. Hi, Dr. Elaine. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Hi, Karen. You're more than welcome.
So I had the pleasure of listening to you talk about your work at greater length not too long ago. I was on an online course, and you were a guest speaker with Mirabai Star. And I was very taken with what you had to say. Your work is very grounded in science and centers on, as you say in your own words, reclaiming the heart as a vehicle for transformation, which I absolutely love. And you've created a set of heart-based practices to help people actually experience that transformation. So I'm thinking that's where we should start, and I'm wondering if you can just tell us some more about the focus of your work, and also maybe weave in a little bit about how your career took you in this really interesting direction.
Okay, I'll try to be brief with this, but I think when I was young, I always kind of intuitively functioned from my heart, and but didn't really understand it. I was really grounded in that way of being, but didn't quite understand what that meant, and thought everybody felt like that, and so learned to kind of turn it off because I didn't have really a frame of reference, but I was always fascinated by the body. And so then my work, my vocational work, was all about the body. My master's degree was in health and exercise science, and got really into everything there was to know. But I was fascinated. I've always been fascinated with the heart. And but when I was looking at through the science of physiology my first time around, it was really about the physicality of the heart. But there's something that always really attracted me to the heart. And then, but my personal life took a really drastic spiritual turn, kind of back to kind of the essence of where I came from, but with a much more intentional way of being with it and in it and trying to understand it. And so my personal life was just hugely, hugely focused on spirituality and trying to live and be and understand what that all was. But my vocational life was all about the body. And then right about that time was really just kind of the opening up of the discipline of really looking at the neurophysiology of spirituality. And I thought, that was just like all the convergence of everything that I knew and I felt and I knew intuitively. And so I went back to school then at that time. And that was the focus of all my doctoral work, was just really trying to figure out how to integrate and explain spirituality from the science of really what it meant to embody that, just to really embody it by living it, embody it by using that to explain what's going on. I kind of use that as a platform just because a lot of people understand, I think, as a foundation of, there's something really big here. If you just tell somebody, okay, well, be spiritual and function from your heart, they're like, oh, yeah, right,
Yeah.
You can really explain through the body and what it means to really embody that, and what, when you feel things in your body and your heart and your mind, that's really real. And then when you function from those places, you just cultivate more. And, it's kind of like my canvas that I paint on is the canvas of the body, and the paint, I guess, is spirituality.
Beautiful. Okay, so can you give us sort of a practical feel for how this actually works, what this looks like, and what your intention was in creating these heart-based practices?
Well, most of my work is really based on a whole kind of combination of learning and content and really kind of learning how things work and then really beginning to address how that works in, for individuals in their own personal life, because all the content in the world doesn't make a bit of difference. You don't really take action and really build it into your own personal life. And what I found was there was just so much, because I am fascinated by the science and I love that, but not, there's not a lot of people that are going to be able to understand what's going on in the lab, nor take the time to learn it all. And I mean, I was immersed in that in my vocational life. But I found that the information wasn't getting out in a really accessible way. And so I've always felt like my job was the bridge, you know, because I can take it, I can understand the science and be able to really make it accessible so people actually do it. And spiritual practices, there's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful spiritual practices out there. And yet, you know, a lot of people in our culture think that, okay, well, I'm not going to be a meditating monk in Tibet, so what do I do about this? You know, and I just felt like there were ways to really take all the science background and take all the beautiful aspects of so many spiritual practices and be able to kind of package them in together in a way that is easily accessible, easy and easily understandable, and that can make a profound difference in people's lives. And so that was my goal, was just to get it, to get people to do it. Because what we know about practices like that and what we know about even anything, any kind of behavior change program, is the hardest part is actually getting people to engage. You know, they may know it, but to really get, so my goal was to just try to package these in a way that really people would be able to engage and use them in an accessible way.
Great. And how does the science support this work that you've created? What does the science say about the power of the heart?
Oh, my.
Big question.
To try to say that briefly. Well, basically, that we our bodies, when I use the term body, I mean everything that we are. I mean, what makes us human is existing in our human body, and our human body receives the world, perceives the world, tells us how to behave in the world. So when I use the word body, I'm kind of speaking of the totality of all that we are in being human, and we are systems of adaptation. So anything that we routinely give ourselves, whether it's a thought, whether it's a spiritual way of being, whether it's a chaotic way of being, we just adapt to more of the same. And so a lot of what the heart practices are based on is being able to retrain. We basically kind of have in the deepest parts of our beings, in our emotional being, we have two drives. And one is the drive, the fear drive, to really be, you know, the threat and fear drive to keep us safe from harm. And that causes our system to be chaotic and react quickly. And it's a good process. Most of the time it's way out of balance for every one of us. But the process itself is good. I mean, that kept our species alive. If we didn't know that we were in danger, we would have never run away from the danger. So the process is good. But our other drive, which doesn't get talked about that often, is the drive to love and to bond and create community and thrive. And part of what I also believe about that is because it's a drive to connect, it's also a drive to connect to those deepest parts of ourselves. And so we have these two profoundly different drives, and only one can be in control at any specific time, because the biochemistry or the neural impulses that go with each of the drive are just completely different. And so the goal of the heart practices is to be able to retrain our whole way of being in the world by cultivating the drive to calm down, to get centered, to relate, to love, to really be in a heartful space. And really, in my work really works, really engages on the idea of intentionally engaging affect or, you know, life generative emotion or, because the more we can do that, the more our bodies and our brains and our systems and our psyches and the whole of our being adapt to that.
Right.
And I guess the last piece I want to put in here is that our fear response systems are so strong and so quick. They had to be stronger and quicker to keep, you know, to survive as a species. So the neural networks in our brain and our heart are so much quicker with that. So to be able to really develop the drive, the other drive, to calm, to bond, create with our inner being, our inner sacredness, with each other, we have to work harder at it because
yes.
Neurally it's a slower system. So we have to really take intentionality and we have to really put overt focus on really trying to create those ways of being. And it's an embodied experience. It's a totally embodied experience. All our biochemistry reaches every cell of our body. I mean, when we feel deep love or when we feel deep gratitude or we feel deep joy, it is a whole embodied experience. When we feel the sacred, it's a whole embodied experience. And that cultivates more of the same. No, so all the science is kind of looking at what's going on in our body and brain when we're intentionally being like this, and then how it begins to adapt to that way of being instead of the fear response system as its primary way of being.
Right. So maybe we should maybe dive into the practices and what they are, what the elements of them are. And first of all, I think HEART is an acronym. For something. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Okay. So HEART is for higher emotion and refocusing techniques. Although, actually, I'm actually writing another book here, and it's really based on the whole idea of heartfulness. So even though in, you know, the previous rendition of the practices, that's what I call them now. Now I'm kind of reformulating them as heartfully engaged awareness.
Oh, great.
Technique.
Okay.
Yeah, because the whole idea of awareness is really this broad concept, and that the more that we can really focus on our heart, we actually do neurally in our brain feel this expansiveness. There's something about the heart and expansiveness. And so that's kind of the background of what they're called. They're basically three steps. And again, I tried to make them as easy as people would do them. So they're notice, refocus, and nurture. And they can be the way the tools are designed or the techniques are designed is that you can do them both in the moment of reactivity and also you can do them as a sustained practice. And both are very, very important because when you're in a moment of reactivity, if, you know, a lot of times people will go ahead and react and then go home and meditate 3 hours later to calm themselves down, but it never changed that moment. And so if you can do anything, any kind of practice right in the moment of reactivity, you can change your reaction and you can change the situation. And sometimes it can mean life and death, and literally mean life and death if people can just calm down in the middle of a reactivity. So so I have kind of in the moment, heart in the moment practices, which is, again, they're the same steps. They're just designed to either be right at them in the moment of reactivity or as a sustained practice where you actually have a time and a space, you know. And typically the ones that I have recorded are about 20 minutes. They don't have to be 20 minutes. You can do them for 5 minutes, you know. But typically when I lead people through, I just kind of have about that 20-minute time frame. There's nothing really magical about that. But They're all based on the three steps, notice, refocus, and nurture. And the notice step is to notice your activity, but not engage it. In other words, it's like usually if we get reactive, we do, you know, one of three things. We either take off with it and we end up getting really reactive, or we suppress it, which still keeps it in our subconscious brain. Our subconscious brain is housing all of our stuff, and it's very, very, very connected to our bodies. A lot of times people will say our bodies are more honest than our conscious brain because it carries everything that we are really experiencing subconsciously. So suppressing reactivity doesn't help. Or we begin to blame ourselves. It's like, we know we shouldn't react, so I'm just going to blame and shame myself or judge myself for reacting. That doesn't help either, because that just perpetuates the whole dynamic. So the idea is I can notice when I'm being reactive, but I don't, it's almost like, you know, you hear this sometimes referred to as cultivating the witness or becoming the observer. It's like I can notice that I'm having a reaction, but I don't have to be engulfed in it. I have a little bit of distance from it.
Yes, so yes, I know exactly.
Yeah, so that's where the awareness comes from. Sometimes you hear this done, it's called mindfulness. But so I have that reactivity. I'm observing myself. Sometimes, you know, you can even get to the point where you can kind of even laugh at yourself a little bit because it's strong, you know. So I'm observing myself on it, but I'm not. So that's all kind of caught up in the notice. So and the body is a great tool, because most of the time our reactions can be deeply felt in our body, and we can train ourselves. Sometimes we can feel it in our body before we even know we're having a reaction. You know, all of a sudden I can't breathe, and it's like, okay, so what's bothering me? Oh, okay. You know, so we can, if we can really be grounded in our body, we know when we're having that. And then the refocus is actually this physiological thing that you can do that automatically calms you down. Your eyes are very, very, very connected to your emotional system. So just calming calming all the tight, tiny little muscles all around the eye sockets or behind the eyes, sends an automatic message to your brain to calm down. The same thing with your shoulders and the same thing with your chest. The eyes are a little, probably the most powerful, but it's a direct two-way in and out to the deepest part of your emotional system. So it's not like I'm going to think to calm myself down. There's just physical things that I can do that will automatically calm me down. So they call it the autonomic nervous system. It happens without our thought, but we can control it by other things. So the refocus is actually refocusing the physicality to just calm myself down. So the refocus step is release my eyes, release my shoulders, release my chest, and then bring my awareness somewhere in my, I say torso, I used to say heart specifically. I like heart, I'm a heart person, but for somebody that really suffers from a lot of anxiety, if you tell them to just calm and breathe and focus on the heart, they might get a little too excited. So, but somewhere, you know, usually you intuitively know where your awareness wants to go. It can go somewhere between your shoulders and your belly. It helps turn off the chatter in your brain. Because typically when we get reactive, immediately the chatter in our brain takes off. And it's from a very specific place in our brain. And so if we can bring our attention somewhere in our torso, it just automatically calms it down. So the refocus step is all about calming down the physicality. And then the nurture step is to nurture a different way of being. And usually that means intentional engagement in a different emotional state. Either intentional engagement in gratitude for something or love for something or finding something about the situation to appreciate or in healing. I have a tool that's called Heart for Healing, and it's a much more in-depth tool. But basically, when we have anything reactive coming up, it's usually because there's been something that's damaged us in the past, and it's a pattern that protects our vulnerability with that. So when we can hold even something that's difficult coming up in a place of self-love or self-compassion, we're actually in the physiological state of healing. So the a positive emotion, and I don't like the words positive and negative, but a life-generating emotion is a state of healing. And even if something difficult is coming up, when we can use it, we can hold ourselves in a place of love or a place of self-compassion, like we would our best friends if our best friends were struggling with something, right? We would hold them in a real place of love even when they were struggling. That brings us into this physiological state of healing even when we're struggling with something. And the more often we can be in those states, or the more often we can react with those states, the more often our body will begin to actually wire to that way of being. So that becomes our primary operating pattern. If we, you know, if we can do it often enough, and we can do it long enough, and we can do it in the moments of stress and reactivity, then they really begin to change. I mean, we see actually structural changes in the brain. We see changes in the way our body processes all of our biochemistry. I mean, it's profound, the changes that really happen, the foundational changes in our brains and our bodies, and which, again, goes back to telling us how to perceive our world.
Awesome. Okay. Well, you know, I'm sure that this discussion will cause a lot of people to want to experience what you've been talking about. So I'd love for you to tell people how they can find out more about your work, where they can access your books and your audios. And I'll put this up on the podcast as well.
Okay. Yeah. Right now, I think the best place to go is I have a professional page on Facebook, which is www.facebook.com/Dr.Elaine, which is A-L-A-N-E, dot Doherty, which is D-A-U-G-H-E-R-T-Y. And all of the practices are on there. So I have, you know, Heart in the Moment. I have something called a Heart for Clarity, Heart for Healing, Sacred Heart. They're all kind of based on the same procedure, but the nurture has a little different component to it. So all of those are on there. My book, again, is called The Power Within, From Neuroscience to Transformation. That is with Kendall Hunt Publishers. And I'm actually just about to come out with another book from Balboa Press, and that pretty sure it will be either Engaging Heartfulness, or maybe From Mindfulness to Heartfulness, but the heartfulness is really the main topic of the book, and that should be out in September. So hopefully we're looking for a pretty soon date for that publication, for that to be out. And all of that will be updated. I think the Facebook page is the best page to be in contact with, because that should be all updated. I have a Dr. Elaine webpage, which is supposed to be up in the next couple of weeks, but I think the Facebook page will lead you to anything else that you might be interested in being able to contact me or learn about my work that way.
Terrific. Okay. Well, I'll make sure to post the actual links as well, live links on our site with your podcast. Dr. Elaine, thank you so much for your time today. This has really been fascinating, and I'm anxious to get a copy of my books because I want to read more about this. I've always been very fascinated with the mind-body-spirit connection, so I look forward to delving and diving into this more deeply. Thank
All
you
right.
so much again.
You're more than
and,
welcome.
And I'll say goodbye for now, and hopefully perhaps we'll have you back again sometime soon, maybe when
All
your
right.
book comes out. Yeah,
it's
we
great.
Can do another one when your book comes out. Yeah. Okay. Well,
okay.
Bye for now. Take care.
All right.
All the best.
Okay.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. For more great tips on natural health, inspired living, and how to sustain your internal environment, please visit us at GoGreenInside.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at GoGreenInside. Thanks for listening, and be well.